from a longer and wider lens. So what would an older, wiser you say? Go live your life. Live it fully, without fear. Live with purpose. Give it your all and never give up. Effort is important, for without it you will never succeed at your highest level. Achievement is important, for without it you will never experience your true potential. Pursuing purpose is important, for unless you do, you may never find lasting happiness. Step out on faith that these things are true. Go live a life worth living, where, in the end, you'll be able to say, "I'm glad I did," not, "I wish I had." Why do I think this? Because many years ago, I began trying to understand what a life worth living would look like. I decided to go out and discover what this might be. It was a trip worth taking. I visited with people older than me, wiser than me, more successful than me. I researched, I read, I sought advice. From every credible source imaginable, I looked for clues and signs. Ultimately, I stumbled on a simple point of view. A life worth living might be measured in many ways, but the one way that stands above all others is living a life of no regrets. Life is too short to pile up woulda, coulda, shouldas. What clinched this for me was when I asked myself who might be the people with the greatest clarity about life. I decided it was those who were nearing the end of theirs. If starting with the end in mind is a good idea, then there's no end further than the very end of life to look for clues about how to live. I wondered what people with nothing left to do but look back might tell me about how to move forward. Their collective voice was overwhelming, and the answer was clear. Live your life to minimize the regrets you might have at the end. What kind of regrets? For me, very few books cause tears, much less require a handkerchief. But Bronnie Ware's 2012 book, The Top 5 Regrets of the Dying, did both. Ware spent many years caring for those facing their own mortality. When she questioned the dying about any regrets they had or anything they would do differently, Bronnie found that common themes surfaced again and again. In descending order, the 5 most common were these. I wish that I'd let myself be happier. Too late, they realized happiness is a choice. I wish I'd stayed in touch with my friends. Too often, they failed to give them the time and effort they deserved. I wish I'd had the courage to express my feelings. Too frequently, shut mouths and shuttered feelings weighed too heavy to handle. I wish I hadn't worked so hard. Too much time spent making a living over building a life caused too much remorse. As tough as these were, one stood out above them all. The most common regret was this. I wish I'd had the courage to live a life true to myself, not the life others expected of me. Half-filled dreams and unfulfilled hopes, this was the number one regret expressed by the dying. As Ware put it, most people had not honored even a half of their dreams and had to die knowing it was due to choices they had made or not made. Bronnie Ware's observations aren't hers alone. At the conclusion of their exhaustive research, Gilovich and Medvec in 1994 wrote, "When people look back on their lives, it is the things they have not done that generate the greatest regret. People's actions may be troublesome initially. It is their inactions that plague them most with long-term feelings of regret." Honoring our hopes and pursuing productive lives through faith in our purpose and priorities is the message from our elders. From the wisest position they'll ever have comes their clearest message: no regrets. So make sure every day you do what matters most. When you know what matters most, everything makes sense. When you don't know what matters most, anything makes sense. The best lives aren't led this way.
Success is an inside job.
So how do you live a life of no regrets? The same way your journey to extraordinary results begins: with purpose, priority, and productivity. With the knowledge that regret must be avoided and can be. With your one thing at the top of your mind and the top of your schedule. With a single first step we can all take. I believe the best way to share this is in a story. One evening, a young boy hopped up in his father's lap and whispered, Dad, we don't spend enough time together. The father, who dearly loved his son, knew in his heart this was true and replied, You're right, and I'm so sorry, but I promise I'll make it up to you. Since tomorrow is Saturday, why don't we spend the entire day together? Just you and me. It was a plan. And the boy went to bed that night with a smile on his face, envisioning the day, excited about the adventurous possibilities with his pops. The next morning, the father rose earlier than usual. He wanted to make sure he could still enjoy his ritual cup of coffee with the morning paper before his son awoke, wound up and ready to go. Lost in thought, reading the business section, he was caught by surprise when suddenly his son pulled the newspaper down and enthusiastically shouted, Dad, I'm up! Let's play! The father, although thrilled to see his son and eager to start the day together, found himself guiltily craving just a little more time to finish his morning routine. Quickly racking his brain, he hit upon a promising idea. He grabbed his son, gave him a huge hug, and announced that their first game would be to put a puzzle together. And when that was done, he said, we'll head outside to play for the rest of the day. Earlier in his reading, he had seen a full-page ad with a picture of the world. He quickly found it, tore it into little pieces, and spread them out on the table. He found some tape for his son and said, I want to see how fast you can put this puzzle together. The boy enthusiastically dove right in, while his father, confident that he had now bought some extra time, buried himself back in his paper. Within minutes, the boy once again yanked down his father's newspaper and proudly announced, Dad, I'm done! The father was astonished. For what lay in front of him, whole, intact, and complete, was the picture of the world back together as it was in the ad, and not one piece out of place. In a voice mixed with parental pride and wonder, the father asked, How on earth did you do that so fast? The young boy beamed. It was easy, Dad. I couldn't do it at first, and I started to give up. It was so hard. But then I dropped a piece on the floor, and because it's a glass-top table, when I looked up, I saw that there was a picture of a man on the other side. That gave me an idea. When I put the man together, the world just fell into place. I first heard this innocent narrative when I was a teenager, and I've never been able to shake it. It became a tale I continually retell in my head, and ultimately a central theme in my life. What struck me isn't the apparent issue with life balance the father had, though I certainly got that. What grabbed me and stuck with me was the inspired solution of the son. He cracked a deeper code, a simple and more straightforward approach to life, a starting point for any challenge we face personally and professionally. The one thing we must all understand if we are to achieve extraordinary results at our highest level possible, undoubtedly, unquestionably. Success is an inside job. Put yourself together and your world falls into place. When you bring purpose to your life, know your priorities, and achieve high productivity on the priority that matters most every day, your life makes sense and the extraordinary becomes possible. All success in life starts within you. You know what to do. You know how to do it. Your next step is simple. You are the first domino.
Putting the one thing to work. William Shakespeare said, In delay there lies no plenty.
So, what now? You've heard the book. You get it. You're ready to experience extraordinary results in your life. So what do you do? How do you tap into the one thing in the most powerful way? Let's revisit the heart of the book and look at ways you can put the one thing to work right now. For brevity's sake, I'll shorten the focusing question, so be sure to add, such that by doing it, everything else will be easier or unnecessary at the end of each of these questions.
Your personal life.
Let the one thing bring clarity to the key areas of your life. Here's a short sampling. What's the one thing I can do this week to discover or affirm my life's purpose? What's the one thing I can do in 90 days to get in the physical shape I want? What's the one thing I can do today to strengthen my spiritual faith? What's the one thing I can do to find time to practice the guitar 20 minutes a day? Or to knock 5 strokes off my golf game in 90 days? Or to learn to paint in 6 months?
Your family.
Use the one thing with family for fun and rewarding experiences. Here are some options. What's the one thing we can do this week to improve our marriage? What's the one thing we can do every week to spend more quality family time together? What's the one thing we can do tonight to support our kids' schoolwork? What's the one thing we can do to make our next vacation the best ever? Or our next Christmas the best ever? Or next Thanksgiving the best ever? Please know that these are simply examples. If they apply to you personally, then great. If not, then use them to prompt you to discover what areas you might explore that matter to you. And don't forget time blocking. Time block with yourself to make sure the things that matter get done, and the activities that matter get mastered. In some cases, you'll want to block time to find your answer, and other times, you'll just need to block time to implement it. Now let's go to work and see how you might take the power of the one thing with you.
Your job.
Put the one thing to work, taking your professional life to the next level. Here's a few ways to get started. What's the one thing I can do today to complete my current project ahead of schedule? What's the one thing I can do this month to produce better work? What's the one thing I can do before my next review to get the raise I want? What's the one thing I can do every day to finish my work and still get home on time?
Your work team.
Pull the one thing into your work with others. Whether you're a manager, executive, or even a business owner, bring one thing thinking into your everyday work situations to drive productivity upward. Here are some scenarios to consider. In any meeting, ask, what's the one thing we can accomplish in this meeting and end early? In building your team, ask, what's the one thing I can do in the next 6 months to find and develop incredible talent? In planning for the next month, year, or 5 years, ask, what's the one thing we can do right now to accomplish our goals ahead of schedule and under budget? In your department or at the highest company level, ask, what's the one thing we can do in the next 90 days to create a one-thing culture? Again, these are merely examples to get you thinking about the possibilities. And, just as in your personal life, once you've decided what matters most, professional time blocking becomes your way of making sure it gets done. At work, this is usually about either a short-term project you must complete or an ongoing long-term activity you're committed to doing repeatedly. No matter, an appointment with yourself is the surest path to ensuring you achieve extraordinary results. Casual, open discussions or short in-house workshops around key concepts in the book might really help everyone at work find their own understanding and get on the same page. If implementing the one thing in an area requires you to involve others, consider getting them their own copy of the book. Sharing your ahas is a great start. And you may be happily surprised with the insights you get back when others have a chance to read or listen to the book on their own. Keep in mind that it takes more than reading or listening to the book and a few conversations or mentions in a meeting to make the one thing a new habit in your life or in the lives of those around you. You know from the book that it takes an average of 66 days to create a new habit, so approach this accordingly. To ignite your life, you must focus on one thing long enough for it to catch fire. Let's look at a few other areas where the one thing might make a real difference.
Your nonprofit.
What's the one thing we can do to fund our annual financial needs? Or serve twice as many people? Or double our number of volunteers?
Your school.
What's the one thing we can do to decrease our dropout rate to zero? Or raise our test scores by 20%, or increase our graduation rate to 100%, or double our parent participation.
Your place of worship.
What's the one thing we can do to improve our worship experience? Double our mission outreach success? Max out our attendance? Or achieve our finance goals?
Your community.
What's the one thing we can do to improve our sense of community? Help the homebound. Double our volunteerism. Or double voter turnout. After my wife Mary read this book, I asked her to do something. She turned to me and said, "Gary, that's not my one thing right now." We laughed, high-fived, and I got to do it myself. The one thing forces you to think big, work things through to create a list, prioritize that list so that a geometric progression can happen, and then hammer away on the first thing, the one thing, that starts your domino run. So be prepared to live a new life. And remember that the secret to extraordinary results is to ask a very big and specific question that leads you to one very small and tightly focused answer. If you try to do everything, you could wind up with nothing. If you try to do just one thing, the right one thing, you could wind up with everything you ever wanted. The one thing is real. If you put it to work, it will work. So don't delay. Ask yourself the question, what's the one thing I can do right now to start using the one thing in my life, such that by doing it, everything else will be easier or unnecessary? And make doing the answer your first one thing.
On the Research.
Although I've lived the lessons of this book for some time, we began researching The One Thing in earnest in 2008. Since then, we've archived a collection of well over 1,000 scholarly articles, scientific studies, and academic papers, hundreds of newspaper and magazine articles, and a large library of books written by the foremost experts in their fields. Binder after binder of discoveries, facts, and anecdotes literally covered every inch of our writing space. If you want to dive deeper into what you've learned from this book, you can find an extensive list of our references organized by topic and by chapter at theonething.com. The website is a gateway into our minds. We mention the authors who have inspired us, provide links to articles that are available online, and list the white papers that educated our thinking. We've also thrown in some additional interesting facts and even a fun video here and there. Enjoy the journey.